What prompted you to start Hatriot?
What prompted me to start it? I don't know. I guess the burning desire to always play heavy metal for some reason. I just can't put it down. You know what I mean? Actually, I met Costa a couple of years ago. He was playing in another band. And his style was very much like Eric Peterson, Gary Holt, you know what I mean? Very, very classic Bay Area thrash with obviously a new influence, metal influence, because he's only 24 years old. But just listening to him play and, wanting to do it again is kind of how it started out. And actually, I didn't want to do it again until I seen this kid play, and it just made me, think of, yeah, I could put this together again and do it. It's going to take a minute, but I could do it.
Did you approach your sons with joining, or did they talk to you about it?
That all worked out by default. Actually, my nephew Kyle was going to play bass in the band because he's a bass player as well. And then Cody said, well, I want to try out. I go, well, there's three other people that wanted to try out, so we're going to try everybody out, and the best person gets it. If you're the best one, that'll be great. So he actually tried out with a couple other people, and he got the gig, ironically. And the same thing happened with Nicholas. Nicholas Alex Bent was playing with us, but Alex, unfortunately, he liked to play with a lot of other bands. You know, he played with Archaic. You think he's in Decrepit Birth now. He's got a bunch of bands he plays with. And in Atrium, I want your full attention dedicated here. So when we were searching for drummers, we had like three other heavy hitters that wanted to sit in, and Nicholas said, I could do this, Dad. I could totally do this. And my attitude of him was like, yeah, sure. Okay, sure. Okay, well, we'll give you a tryout. No problem. Yeah, yeah, no problem. And then his brother kept coming up to me because we were at BAM last year, going, like, leaning over to me, like, Dad, Nick thinks he got him. Well, let's go Tuesday night. We'll see. He gets his jam Tuesday night. So Tuesday night came around, and I'm thinking, if you were to put it in football terms, he was probably a late sixth, seventh round pick. He came in shooting the top four, and we couldn't believe his audition was amazing. And I think, personally, one of the highlights of the album is his drum playing. So I think that we actually got the right guy, but Nick had to try it as well.
Right. That's really something, though. Did your sons get into heavy metal on their own, or was it just growing up with their dad and the music just being around them, it just kind of took hold of them?
Yeah, I guess that's how you kind of look at it. Besides, I don't really listen to other forms of music. It's, it's not like, well, I was a kid, and in my teens and my 20s, I played metal bands, and I became famous playing metal, so I just play metal because it's what I should do, because I know there's a lot of musicians out there that are like that later in their life. I think they listen to metal, I doubt it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love metal. I love it, and I listen to it today. I listen to it every... If it's not heavy, I don't care, you know what I mean? So it's just... I think my kids never could bring, like, Snoop Dogg in the house or something like that. I wasn't having it, you know what I mean? They've always listened to hard rock and metal anyway. Both of them have been metalheads. Both of them are. And they played in metal bands. Nick had a band called One Flew West. He played and did the little club thing in. Cody was in another band called... They were kind of like a Mon Amarth. They were kind of like a thrash version of Viking metal.
Oh, wow.
And they were called Oscari. And so... they both had put their time in, definitely. Definitely put their time in. So... when it came to them playing this type of music, it wasn't like they had to turn it off or turn it on. They're definitely metalheads, both of them.
Well, that's great. Are they self-taught, or did any of your musician friends teach them?
Well, no, they're self-taught. They're both real smart. I mean, I gave Cody a bass. I bought it from Jack when I was in Exodus the last stint. I bought it off of Jack, and because we had a bass that was around the house. It was this old junky destroyer bass that Cody used to pick on it. And it was, the action was about 3 inches off the neck, and it was just terrible. So I bought it from Jack one day, and I brought it home, and he learned how to play. He went online, and he saw a tablature, and he learned how to play different songs, and he actually learned how to play it. And Nick was the same way. We bought him a kit for when he was in Christmas. He's 19 now. We bought him a kit when he was 10. and for Christmas, and it was just like I got behind the thing and grabbed his, said, "Here's your hi hat, here's your foot, here's your snares, boom, chap, boom, boom, chap, boom, chap, boom, splash me this, and in time, he learned how to play it." So both of them self-taught, but it was never to like where they just like were hobby players. They definitely both played at it very seriously because they knew if they were going to play with me, especially, it was you have to be very dedicated to it. I didn't want any nepotism involved in it. Like, oh, they're just here. I just got Will Smith done in my movie because I produced the movie. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that at all. Both of my boys can play their instruments quite well, and they deserve to be there.
That's awesome. Which song on the album is your favorite?
It changes from time to time. When I first recorded the record, and you gotta remember, I've been listening to it for 4 months.
Right.
Okay, so, Murder American Style is my first favorite. And then End Your Children to Be Damned. Then it moved to Shadows of the Buried. Now it's Suicide Run. So it's bounced for a while. What do you think? What do you think of the record?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I was very surprised. I honestly thought that it was going to be a little more or less what the demo was, and it really surpassed my expectations.
Good, I'm glad. I'm glad. I think so, too. I think if you liked the demo, the album was going to melt your face off, because it's just, we had so many other surprises behind. And I remember reading when we first had put some of the songs out on the internet, people were saying, oh, wow, these are probably the best songs. Watch, the album will come out and everything else will be crap.
I was afraid of that, too.
You know, and then these will be the best songs out of everything. And then you listen to the record, you're like, well, wait a minute. Those songs aren't even the best songs on the record. There's way better stuff on here. So
yeah.
It's kind of what we wanted to do with it. Wait till you hear the second record stuff. We've already written, like,
oh, wow,
for the second album. It's great. It's really good. So we're not taking any time off. We were not for 4 months. So we were playing shows here and there. We'll play a show. But, you know, we practice every week. And after a while, we got tired of playing the damn songs over and over again. It's like, Christ, you listen to the record in your car every day. We play it. Let's go write new songs. So Costa threw up some songs. And so we have, I think, 4 that we can go there and play through.
That's great. Are there any songs on the album that you'd like to go back and fix anything? Or you just...
Actually, I'm really happy with it. We had time for that, you know.
That's great.
We just threw it, and we were like, I love everything on the record. There's nothing I could change, not that I think about it.
That's good. What happened to Tenet? Why was there no tour for it?
I think everybody was just too busy between Gene and Jed and Byron and Glenn and myself to get those 4 people in the same room together with everybody's schedule. Would have been a fucking miracle in itself, you know what I mean? So I don't think there was really much dedication to that. I was hired as just a singer, and I was told, like, hey, man, you want to do this thing? We're going to do this thing. It's cool. And Jed actually sang on it, and I guess he really didn't like his vocals. And so they said, would I do it? And I didn't write anything. I just went in and sang on it. It's a great record, though. Very, very heavy album. Love those songs. It's too bad. I'm much happier now, though, believe me. Those were all, like, Fat, Dublin Death, and so that's all been, like, projects. Things you just kind of do because they're fun to do. And if
right.
Something turns out like a tour or something, that's great. But, I mean, Hatred's my full-time job now, you know what I mean? It's like what I want for everybody to. I'm already writing songs for the next record. There's going to be no screwing around. It's going to be the next boom, boom, next thing, you know, so.
I got it. What's going on with DDP, speaking of them?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Chuck's in Testament. Hatred. None of the rest of the other guys really play, unless you consider Phil Demmel a member, but I mean, he's kind of a guest member in that thing, but
right.
Nobody really, those guys really pursue music outside of what we did with that, so it's not something that, it's an active thing. Chuck doesn't have time to tour on it, I don't have time to tour on it, you know, again, I want to focus everything I have on this. Everything that I can do on this.
Right. Have you listened to the New Testament album at all?
I wrote 3 songs on it.
Did you?
Yes.
How did I not? Wow, I have not paid
enough. Go read the liner notes again, my brother. Go read the liner notes. Charlie didn't give me much. I mean, it's way down there in the pot. I was like, oh my God, Chuck, thanks, bro. Right on, yeah. And the Death, True American Hate, and Throne of Thorns.
Wow, two or three of those are my favorite songs on the album. I had no idea that you.
Very nice. Very
I had
nice.
No idea you yeah. wrote it. You wrote any of those.
Okay, so did you know about Formation? I wrote Dangers of the Faithless and More Than Meets the Eye.
Really?
Yes, sir. Go back to the liner notes again, young man. Go back to those goddamn liner notes. Open the albums and look in there and read. You'll see if Steve Zetros is a. I think Chuck put knives on the last one, and I think there's stars on this one. Look, Del James from, he also works with Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses. It's him and I. We write songs with Chuck Billy for Testament albums.
Wow.
I can call from Eric and Alex, and they'll say, Seth, we're going to send you some New Testament. Can you listen to it and give you some ideas, you know, and try and go write lyrics to Chuck. Chuck will call me up and go, what are you doing, Seth? I'll be, nothing. He goes, hey, I got some stuff I want you to listen to, maybe I'll come over. So he came over one afternoon, and we wrote True American Hate, and then I got together with him. No, they sent me a Day in the Death by itself, and I wrote that part, and Alex also wrote half of it. So the lyric credit on that song is Stolnik Souza, actually. And then Throne of Thorns I wrote as well. So yeah, I'm always, you know, those are my boys forever. They'll always be my boys. You know what I mean? Chuck even got his job from me. I went in there, you know, in the beginning. You know, it's hey, they need a singer. You should try out. They got my record office on the table. Boom, you walk right in. It'll be great. You know, look what's happened. History's been spelled. I got my dick in every fucking band out here, it seems like, you know, for some reason or another. So, you know, I keep myself very current, and I keep myself busy. This is what I want to do. This is what I do, Chris.
Right.
This is what I do. This is what I am. This is what I fucking do, you know? So, I don't fake it. It's not something that I turn on or turn off. It's 24 hours a fucking day, you know? It's what I am. It's what I, so I, to me, metal comes very, I can write metal like it's nothing. I love it. I love heavy metal.
That's so awesome. Tell me about the Legacy days, and why did you guys all get matching tattoos?
Well, actually, Chuck got that. He paid for that. I had it first. When I flew in, I got it tattooed on me first, and mine doesn't have the warlock on the crown. Mine has a like a heart shield head, because I remember the guy said when he went to go tattoo it, and it was actually the same guy tattooed Cliff Burton's Face of Death on his arm. Cliff told me to go to this guy to get his tattoo done. Phil. And so, I went and I got it done, and then when Chuck joined the band, he took them all down to a tattoo parlor with me, and they all got it in one shot.
Wow. There's some photos of you in Legacy in the Harold O. and Brian Liu book, Murder in the Front Row. What are
yeah,
your
that's beautiful, yeah.
What's your relationship between the two then, and how is it now, and did you even get a chance to take out the book?
Of course. I've signed it like a million times, and it's amazing. I love it. It really captures what that time was. When I look through that book, this movie goes off in my head. You don't even know. I mean, a picture will spark. Oh, I remember that night, and we went, like, there's Metallica pictures in there. I remember, oh shit, I remember this night. We ended up at their fucking house getting hammered till 4:00 in the morning, and Debbie drove me home, and I couldn't even get my keys. I mean, I was just from the picture looking in that book. So it's just like fucking, you know, just wild to look at that. But, I guess you could never compare the scene now. There is not really a scene necessarily, because of the internet. It's created a scene for the internet. If there was no internet, there would still be a scene, because you would need something to go to, I guess. and congregate. But now because you have chat rooms and blogs and this and stuff like that, you can stay home and still be a part of it, if that makes any sense. It's not as personal as it used to be, but it's still as big. So I guess that's the difference of it all. I guess I like more like the personal thing. I like going into Roots Inn and walking in and looking to the right and seeing Lars and James sitting at the bar and fucking Gary and Tom over there and the guys from Legacy and the guys from Forbidden, the guys from Death Angel. Everybody was there, Possessed, you know, all hanging out. And we were going there that night to see Suicidal and fucking Slayer and Armored Saint, whoever, because it was 1985 and it was raw and fresh. Nobody knew any different, you know, and that's what we knew. Now as we're older and we're adults, I think of my dad when he was 48 years old. He would never be doing what I'm doing at 48 years old, you know, and not even think about it, you know. But it's just in my blood, and it's how I roll.
That's awesome. Would you ever write your own book?
Thought about it a few times. A lot of people could probably do that. Let's see how the next chapter unfolds. We may not be done yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
I got a new chapter that just actually tomorrow it hits the stores where you can actually go out and physically buy it. So let's see what happens. New chapter unfolding. You know, this could be the best one of them all so far.
That would be something.
I think we're very excited. I think with everything. If you look at it, my history in thrash metal, the type of band I've just come back with, my children being in the band, the two guitar players being an amazing new thrash duo. I mean, an amazing. Coste is the next new thrash axe god, straight up. This kid is just gets it. You know what I mean? His style is just unbelievable. And so I think with everything that's going on and everything that's been really kind of fallen in and just been, hasn't been really overly tough to try to sell it necessarily, although again, I feel it's good enough, that's why. It's not like because I'm trying to live off of my name or anything like that. I think that it's very solid, very, very solid. And so, I think anything that's good always gets listened to. You can't deny it if it's fucking good. If it's heavy and it rocks, you can't deny it, you know? That's the way I've always looked at it.
So do I. I mean, the best part is that you, like, there's no bullshit here. There's no fake at all. Like, you're not trying to sell anything. You truly believe in everything that's going on with this album, and that's probably the best part. Because we as fans...
Yeah, I think that's my best, honestly, and I hear that too, and I appreciate you for saying that, because I think that's, it's true. I mean, I'm not trying, this is like, oh shit, I got an interview at 5, I got to turn on the metal guy now. Yeah. It's like, I so don't, you know, it's like, okay, 5 minutes, I got a bunch of Gator Boys, it's 5 minutes, I gotta talk about my heavy metal, you know what I mean? So, it's like, I don't have to turn it on, it's already on, it's just on, it never turns off, you know what I mean? It's completely flowing constantly, it's like the sun, it turns, you know what I mean? I have to sleep through it, but when I wake up, it's always there, it's always there, you know?
Well, the other thing about us metals is we can tell bullshit from a mile away. So.
Well, that's true. Nobody shoves metal down anybody's throat. So if you know metal, you know that's true, you know. Well, I thought something was funny a couple of years ago. Because again, and I always say this, I go, celebrities do not cozy up to heavy metal. There are a few that have, and we totally, like, invite them in, and I know the two offhanders. Brian Posehn is a great comedian, and he loves heavy metal, and obviously Chris Jericho, you know, so we don't necessarily have any celebrities outside of metal that like it, so when we get that, we totally invite them in, but a few years ago, Jada Pinkett had a metal band.
Oh my god, that's right.
And they tortured them on Ozfest, and I'm glad that they did, because I don't care who you are. You just can't put a fucking pair of leather pants on and think you're going to get up there and bang your head. People, we're too stupid. We're just going to like it. Thing is about us, nobody shuts our shit down. They don't play us on the radio. Our only television show is called Bat Metal Show. The only thing dedicated to us. You know? Fucking Grammy Award, it's not even on. It's not even televised, our version. Then we get one award. It's best heavy metal performance. And they don't even televise it. So we're not even looked at. you know, so metalheads know, like you said, Chris, like you said, metalheads know if you're shoving it down my throat or you know what you're talking about. It's true.
Which Exodus album overall would you say was your favorite in terms of the writing, the sound, the support, and just the whole feel of the album? What would you say was the best time in that era for Exodus for you?
Funnest time for me, era was Pleasures to Impact. Unbelievably unstoppable at that time. We were sold out everywhere we played. I remember going to do it at an in-store at Tower Records in downtown New York City. And a New York block fucking line was wrapped around twice to have us sign out there for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
That was amazing. Best record, best writing, Temple of the Damned. Come on, hands down. Exodus at that point, we were all 40-year-old men that were pissed off that we had not really, we had influenced all these bands and we never turned into shit, so that record fucking was all about, check this out. Want to hear a fucking heavy record? There you go. But I think, you know, honestly, Heroes of Origin is in the same vein. There ain't nothing nice about this record.
No.
This record is just fucking...
It's nasty.
A razor slices you across the face from start to finish. But I'm a metalhead, so I'm listening to my album and I'm being objective, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, oh, goddamn, this record just fucking go piss into gasoline from start to fucking finish. We don't let up. We don't. You know?
What did you think of Exodus' decision in 2010 to re-record Bonded by Blood with their current lineup?
That's the only thing I disagreed on that they've done. I think that was Paul Baloff's record, and Paul Baloff is an untouchable figure. And again, everybody has their era. Paul had his era, I have my era, and Rob has here his era. And I don't think you should intertwine or cross either any of them. Although when they play live, he does a great job on all the songs. I've seen something live from them in Holland last year, and he was doing Deranged, and he nailed every song he wrote. So I thought it was really good, but not to record Bonded by Blood. I remember when Wired joined the band, they talked about that a few times. Yeah, you should go in there and redo Bonded by Blood. I'm like, no fucking way. That's Baloff's record. How are you going to redo classic record like that? Until now, that's the only thing I disagreed with that they did. Everything else I think is great. Mm. Keep moving.
You know what? I think a lot of people, including myself, feel the same way. But I enjoy watching him do all those songs. I enjoy watching Rob go out there and do Piranha or Fabulous Disaster or any of those other songs from, well, you know, from the other eras of Exodus. But, you know, don't re-record anything with your current lineup.
I agree, and I'm fine with that too, exactly. And I feel the same way.
You know, it would be like me rewriting a Stephen King book and then just saying, oh, this is a rewrite of a Stephen King book. I don't see why anyone...
Now, for all you kids that weren't alive back then, look what we did. You know what I mean? It's a little bit too late. I was not for that. Although I think, you know, live he does them fine. He does them great. He does all the songs great.
Where does the name Zetro come from?
Acid trip when I was 14. Yeah.
Really?
It only started out happening by the time Zet was Zet for years. And then by the time I was about 19... some guy was telling me something, and he was trying to say it in a very demanding voice, and he put the tro on it. He put that tro, like, trying to make it more formal or something, and that's kind of stuck. But that came from an acid show when I was 14.
Wow.
Good acid, by the way.
What did you do for a living since your departure from Exodus?
What I've done for the past 20 years, I'm a union foreman for a commercial construction company.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I do in the day. And if I have to do interviews, I tell my crew, yo, I gotta fucking go do press. So you, make sure the shit's rolling right. Know that I don't want to hear no crap. They come up and need to talk to you, tell them I'm on the phone doing an interview, and I'll check with them in a minute. That's how I roll.
That's fucking awesome.
I'm a union carpenter for, Local 713, yeah, I'm foreman for a union outfit. I mean, I do, I make almost six figures working just fucking union construction. That's so I can pick and choose metal if I want to.
Wow.
I'm not bound to it. I'm not bound to it at all.
That's the coolest.
Nobody in the band is. My son, third year refrigeration apprentice. Cody makes probably $35 an hour. Nick, my son Nick, he bounces. He does Mr. Pickles, makes sandwiches in the day, and works at a really great pizza Italian restaurant at night that shuffles. So he gets tipped, and he makes a ton there. And then Costa and Miguel. Costa changes oil in cars, and Miguel works at a guitar center. And so everybody's got decent jobs. I got no deadbeats in my band.
That's pretty great.
Kids live on their own, too. The boys live together. My boys live in an apartment about 20 minutes from my house.
Okay.
Their mother and I are no longer married. But they also have a sister. I have a 14-year-old daughter who lives with their mother.
Mm-hmm.
But their mother and I are no longer married. And the boys live together. The boys have the rhythm section. They live together. It's great. So they fucking do it quite well. And they know each other very well. That's why those two together, it works out really well. It's ironic that, because you always hear that, God, bass players are such drummers are such freaks. It's like, I got built in the rhythm. I went and built my own fucking rhythm section, basically.
If you put it that way, yeah, you certainly did.
I guess so. You want to be a bass player? I go, and then Nicholas looks at me and I go, well, I'm not throwing you a guitar. There's too many fucking guitar players out there. I go, so here, you'll play the drums. So that's just kind of how it worked out.
Wow.
So, since I've become great friends with all the people, every drummer that's ever played in Testament, because they always have a million of them. Mm. And then, like Dave McLean and Joey Jordison, guys that are my friends from the business, that I know.
Right.
Metal. Just other drummers that he knows. John Tempesta, Tom Hunting, and he's got to know people like that, and so he's got the best influence of the people around him, so it's all worked out well.
Back to the Hatriot album. Who came up with the cover concept?
I sure did. I kind of came up with that out. God, I've been on the internet that people hate it, and I'm like, I love this cover. I don't know what you hate about it. I think it's great. It's metal. It's so metal. There's skulls and warships and shit going on and firing and destroying. It's the most fucking cliche metal cover you can get. Come on. Damn it. No, I came up with it. I said I want us to be, we're going to be on the next one too. So I'm back to the bands being on the cover. That kind of thing. I think people will less hate my next idea than I've got. I kind of came up with that thing.
You came up with the Captain America shield thing?
Captain America shield Mark DeVito designed, but I loved it. But you gotta remember, the Captain America shield got a fucking pentagram in there. It's not a star.
So it's the Hatriot shield.
Okay? Changes everything,
yep.
Okay? And the flag is
the
not
flag
a
too. The flag has pentagrams flag. On it.
There's pentagrams in the
yep.
field of blue, not stars. Pentagrams. So it changes it. It's a twist. It's the copyright.
Yep.
It's my safety net for the copyright suing. what I mean? You kidding me? So my lawyer's using anyway, so that's what we're going for.
Who came up with the album title? Was that you too?
I did. I come up with all the song titles. I come up with all that stuff.
Okay. What made you want to pick that for the album title? Like, what was going through your head to do it?
70s. I used to collect every comic book you could get your freaking hand on. I mean early 70s, and I still have this stuff. And I used to collect a lot of horror comics, but I also collected Batman, Aquaman. I collected a few here superheroes. And I had this one comic, and it was like probably from 1940 or 1941. And on the cover of the comic had the original Batman and Robin, the original Wonder Woman, the original Superman, and the original Aquaman, and the title of the comic, it was said, Action Comics, Heroes of Origin.
Wow.
That's where I got that from.
That's amazing.
Pretty trippy, huh?
That is pretty badass. What's the future plans for Hatriot? Besides the second album, is there anything anything you could share on the new album, like the maybe the album title or a brief idea of the cover?
I'll give you a title of the song.
All right.
Title of song. You're going to love this. Everybody I've told that I've leaked this. It's, if you remember Mary Poppins and you remember Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, God.
Right? So, mine is a Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh my God!
And it's about the leaders of countries who eventually fall violently, like Gaddafi was strung out over hood of a car, and they drove him around Tripoli and threw fucking rocks at him, dead body, and you know, just went at Hitler and people like that. So it's kind of like the fall, like super killer frag sadistic acts are so atrocious. So it's kind of about that. So a little bit of a tid of what's going on to the next thing I've got going.
Wow.
Always something sick and twisted.
That's amazing. That's the best song title I've ever heard. And I'm probably never going to hear anything that crazy of a song title for the rest of my life.
Well, you don't know. You don't know.
Unless you guys keep coming up with crazier ones.
There's a ton of creative fuckers out there. A ton of creative guys out there. There is. I try to keep fresh. I try to keep it cool. I try to keep it edgy. That's so tongue-in-cheek, it's unbelievable.
Are you guys going to do a tour?
Yes. We right now just to secure a booking agent. So we're talking to a few booking agents right now. So we're looking to check our album. We want to do world tour. That's the idea of this band, is to go out and do a record, do a world tour. When that record starts to wane, do another record, another world tour. Like I said, we weren't wasting no time. We already started to write the record.
That's a really old school approach to it.
Exactly, and I feel that the old school bands were successful because of it.
Definitely.
I mean, look at Sabbath. They released two records in 70, you know what I mean? So, we're not going to waste any time. We're not going to go, okay, well, you've got three fucking, you know, I mean, I just saw an interview with Corey Taylor today. They're not going to get a new Slipknot record until 2015.
Wow.
That's like, I mean, you know, and I like those guys. I'm like a Slipknot fan, and I'm thinking, they have not put out a record since 2009.
That's insane. There's very few bands that can get away with that and still be relevant.
I'm telling you, especially in metal, and I'm just, you know, I think you owe your fans a little bit of that kind of respect that just, you know, because they're looking for that from you. They really are, man. They're looking for that. I am, you know, it's like, you know, and I had a text message conversation with Joey about a couple of weeks ago. Oh, we're on the team of the MAM show, because you were going to play the MAM show, and I figured he'd be there, and I said, hey, now I'm playing MAM, and he comes, no, he goes, I'm just busy writing songs, and then I put in for Slipknot, and he said, no, it's just demoing some other stuff, and then I read also that he's, you know, got a ton of demos out, so it's, you know,
mm-hmm. It's,
you know, that guy, keep yourself busy when your main act's not playing, you know, so.
You really do. That's insane, though. I mean, I don't know who's crazier for doing that, them or Tool, because Tool doesn't even announce their shows until sometimes 2 weeks before they even happen.
I know, they're playing up here, and I'm like, Tool's playing when? Already sold out. It's like, yeah, exactly, that's how they do it. It's like, you know.
And it's a really, really, really weird thing how it only happens to these select few bands.
I know, Manson's another one. Manson, they don't have to do records, he stays relevant. I don't know how. I don't know.
It's a really strange world.
Yes, it is.
Which brings me to my last question. You're gonna flip for this one. What's your superpower?
What's my superpower? My attitude. Your superpower. The way I carry myself is unbelievably a superpower. if you give me an action, it's unbelievable. Discipline. Yeah, that's my superpower.
That's awesome.
I think this is my life. This is what I am. This is what I do. Even at this point in my life, 48 fucking years old, I still do this harder than ever. You know, look at the guys in Maiden. They're older than me. Priest, they're older than me. You know, they do it. Ozzy. They still fucking bang their head. Look at fucking Dio, the man. The man! Dio, he did it till the day he fucking died, you know?
Yeah, I'm just glad that I got to see him before he died. I'm glad that I got to see him once.
I didn't know him very well.
I didn't see him as Dio, but I saw him as Heaven and Hell, and I could not believe how great they were.
Yeah, great. Amazing. Amazing gem, man. One of the best men I ever knew in the business, believe me. Exodus opened for Black Sabbath in 1992 on tour.
Wow.
Turkey Humanizer, and I got to know him ever since then. I kept in touch with him. He was one guy that I always talked to all the time. He kept in touch with him. So, yeah, that was kind of a... Such a drag that day.
I hope Tony Iommi's doing okay, because I know he's got cancer too.
I said New Sabbath will be out in a couple months, so we'll see.
I hope so.
Hope it's as good as the new fucking AJ record. That's all I can say, huh?